Now, on that same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Has this ever happened to you? You fail to recognize someone you know. When my niece was in middle school, she loved Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night painting. The LA County Museum had a huge Van Gogh exhibit coming, so I bought tickets for all of us for Christmas, for my sister, her two kids, and for me. It was a big deal. They drove up the night before from San Diego. We got up early the next morning to drive from my house in Claremont into Los Angeles to make our entry time for the exhibit. The whole day was like a dream. My niece was so happy, so excited. We were all caught up in her joy, talking and laughing, swept up by the atmosphere and the experience. And while we waited in line to enter the exhibit, I noticed a woman looking at me closely. And I looked at her too, and she looked familiar, but I couldn't figure it out. So I went back to talking to my sister and to the kids. But the woman kept looking at me. And finally, she called my name, Karen, and it clicked. I knew her. Of course I did. I knew her from church. the Claremont Presbyterian Church where I worked. I did not know her well, but I saw this woman every Sunday and we talked often. We were so removed from our usual context that I could not place her, at least not until she said my name. And then it was like the fog lifted and I recognized her immediately. Has anything like this ever happened to you before? I wonder if that's what happened to the disciples that day on the road to Emmaus. Why didn't they recognize Jesus immediately? Surely they knew him well. They'd spent long hours traveling with him, sitting at his feet, listening to his teaching and preaching, watching him heal the sick and feed the hungry. As you might expect, there's been a great deal of speculation about this throughout church history. Was it just the encounter with Jesus that was so unexpected? It was so out of context to run into Jesus on the road, and that's why they failed to recognize him? Or was it perhaps that Jesus had died 3 days before, and that prevented them from knowing him? And even though the women told the disciples that he'd risen, Cleopas and his friend remained skeptical and therefore could not believe that the stranger accompanying them was the risen Jesus. Add in their grief and pain and all the trauma surrounding the circumstances of Jesus' death, and maybe that made it impossible for the two disciples to really look at anyone right then. They were blinded by their tears. Maybe that's what happened. Or could it be that the whole experience, all the physical pain and the mental and spiritual anguish, changed Jesus in some fundamental way? The way that we have seen loved ones' faces change when they are suffering. Maybe the risen Jesus didn't look the same. Maybe the resurrection had that effect on him. In the end, it's all speculation. We don't really know why Cleopas and his friend failed to recognize Jesus. We do know that they were disappointed and terribly, terribly sad. And they didn't know that the one they grieved was with them all the time. And isn't that how it goes sometimes? We have an experience of the holy, but we don't recognize it in the moment. We can't see it, can't hear it, and can't name it. Sometimes it takes the intervention of a friend who sees more clearly and can name the experience for us. And sometimes it takes time so that we only understand what really happened long afterward. This week, I heard an interview with British author Frances Spufford on NPR's Fresh Air. I'd never heard of Frances Spufford before, but I like to listen to authors talk about their books, and so I tuned in. Toward the end of the interview, things took an unexpected turn when he began to talk about his faith, his Christian faith. In 2013, Spufford wrote a book called Unapologetic: Why, Despite Everything, Christianity Can Still Make Surprising Emotional Sense. In that book, he told the story of his conversion to Christianity, or more accurately, his reconversion to Christianity. Because Frances Spufford grew up in a Christian home, but around age 13, he lost his faith. He spent his later youth and young adulthood as an atheist. In his 30s, in his first marriage, he made a mistake, a big mistake, which he did not name in the interview. Suffice it to say that after the incident, his wife was miserable, and so was he. After a long night of fighting, the next morning he went to a cafe, and playing in the cafe on the sound system was Mozart's Clarinet Concerto, the Adagio. And Spufford wrote this: "I had heard it lots of times, but this time it felt to me like news. It said, everything you fear is true, and yet, everything you have done wrong, you have really done wrong. And yet, And yet, the world is wider than you fear it is, wider than the repeating rigmarole is in your mind, and it has this in it, as truly as it contains your unhappiness. Shut up and listen, and let yourself count just a little bit on a calm that you do not have to be able to make for yourself, because here it is freely offered. And then he went on to write, the novelist Richard Powers has written that the clarinet concerto sounds the way mercy would sound. And that's exactly how I experienced it in 1997. It sounds the way mercy would sound. After that morning in the cafe, Spufford went looking for mercy, and he knew where to go. He went back to the faith of his childhood, back to Christianity, back to the church, back to Jesus, because he knew that in Jesus, he would find infinite forgiveness and grace and love and mercy. I would guess that this was Francis Spufford's walk to Emmaus experience, that the clarinet concerto opened his eyes, helping him to see and to know God again. Has this ever happened to you? Something as simple and as profound as listening to a piece of music helped open your spiritual eyes and ears, your mind and your heart to know God again in a new way. That whistling is a little distracting. Do we know what it is? It's the Holy Spirit. Well, I guess the Holy Spirit is distracting. All right. Luke's gospel went on to say that while Jesus walked with Cleopas and his friend, he interpreted scripture for them. And the conversation was so good that when they reached Emmaus, they invited Jesus.